Pilot number 66. This one is a gem, dude. This is like needle in a haystack. This is like the secret cave in Goonies, like where you just didn't know how much amazingness there is. Right, Fonz?
Hell what do you think? Yep. The drive over here was awesome.
I haven't made that drive ever, dude. And, you know, it's always like once you get past the 15... you never know what happens. Oh, no one knows what goes on. But we were only a couple exits past the 15, not too much. But we have an incredible show lined up, Fonz, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the house, actually in his house, we have 60 East. How's it going?
Hey, going good, man. Going good. It's actually funny you say that 15 thing because that's like an ongoing joke out here, bro. Like, well, at least for me because I live on the other side of the 15. Yeah. I'm like the beginning part of the IE.
Okay.
So we even say that shit. We're like, yeah, everything past the 15, we don't know about them. We don't know about the. We don't know what goes on over there. And it sucks because living out here, it's depressing, man. Like I always tell people, like I hate living out here, and that's why I recently got an office in downtown in Koreatown. So it's kind of like, I just need to get away, bro. I'm not uninspired out here, bro. Just driving, seeing the dryness, seeing the desert bums. It's like, I can't do it, man. It's cheap. Don't get me wrong. The cheap rent is beats the L.A. expensive rent. But, I mean, as far as being creative and being an artist, like, I can't do it out here, man. So it's funny. It's funny you hearing that, you know, from you guys, man.
But you don't use the argument like everyone from L.A. that drives to Vegas is like, but you're only 3 hours away now.
That's true, man. You know, but luckily, like, Ontario is, you know, just the same thing. Well, I'm only a couple exits on the other side of the 15, but it's a whole different world, bro.
It really is a different world, man.
Like, I say, like, Ontario, Chino, Pomona, since it's the border of the end of L.A. County, we're still kind of city. And then as soon as you pass the 15, it's kind of like, no, that's the fucking desert, bro. That's the boonies out there. But I feel like Ontario, Chino was like that, but they really built it up over the – especially since I've grown up, it's grown, like, really, really big.
Got you. Yeah. Dude, 60 East, you've been on Vans Warped Tour, the Paid Dues Festival. You were with Rappin' Forte, Speak Your Mind Festival.
Forgot about that one.
And Velvet Jones. Velvet Jones is pretty special to me. It's out in Santa Barbara. And you, you're with The Game there. You just released Almost There. Dude, you're legit, man. So Alex reached out to me. And tell our listeners who Alex is.
Alex is my friend, first and foremost. My boy growing up. Now he represents me. Whether it's booking, press, management, he's basically the guy people talk to when you email me.
Yeah, he reached out to me and was like, hey, I got some guy I represent. He'd like, would it be cool to come out on the show? And I was telling you earlier, one of the things that me and Fonz always talk about, I was like, well, the cool thing about running this podcast is that we get to like pick. We don't have bosses. And so we're going to do shows that we're genuinely fans of. And boy, let me tell you, it didn't take long, dude. It did not take long. It was quick. I was like, damn, this dude is legit. So it is pretty cool to have you on. It's pretty cool to introduce you to our listeners if they don't know you already. But I'm really excited about this show. You come from the Inland Empire. Is that where 60 East comes from?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what freeway did you take to get here, man?
60 East, yeah.
Simple as that.
Dude, so how does that happen, man? How does a kid from the IE, how do you become a rapper? How do you get into hip hop?
I always tell people, because people always say like, how do you get into hip hop? I always tell people hip hop came knocking on my door. Literally like my first introduction to hip hop was my cousin coming in and breakdancing. Like one day he was like, yo man, check this shit out. And he just started breakdancing. And we were like, what the hell is this? And he tried showing my brother how to do it, but my brother's not very coordinated. So I was like, let me try. So I started doing it, and I caught it fast, and I became obsessed, man. So this is back in the 90s still, so we still had dial-up internet. So I remember going, yeah, you, someone would pick up the phone and you get cut off and shit like that. I'm old. And yeah, so I remember after I got into breakdancing, you know, I started looking up like breaking crews, Crazy Legs, all the big B-boys, you know, from New York. I got into like deep. Like I loved being B-boy. Shortly after that, my brother, since he couldn't breakdance, you know, we would watch the movie Breaking, and then he started seeing people DJ, like scratching records. So I remember one day we were kids, he ran into my garage, dusted off an old record player my mom had, threw on a record, plugged it in, and tried scratching it, like not knowing you need DJ needles and all that, man. So from that day, he became a DJ. To this day, he's a professional DJ, represented agency, all that. Big DJ. And it's nice. Funny, started that day simply because he couldn't breakdance. All right, well, anyway.
That's a blessing in disguise right there.
So that evolved into him becoming a producer and working with a bunch of local artists. So, you know, I would open the door. Artists would come knocking on the door. Yo, Metric here. Oh, we're going to come record. I would open the door to these dudes, and they would be recording in my mom's house. Man, that ended up turning into them starting a independent label. I ended up selling their CDs in junior high school. I was selling mixtapes. I was that guy. I was also a rapper, but I didn't have anything recorded yet until I started recording mixtapes. Then I started selling my own mixtapes. The main artist from that label got murdered in Ontario in 2006. That ended up splitting the crew. Everybody went their own directions. I kind of stopped doing music just because, like I was saying before, I didn't have any music friends, so I didn't have people to do it with. So I was just in the streets doing my thing. And, you know, eventually I ended up meeting back with one of my brother's friends that was also on the label. He was just like, yo, man, I'm here now. You know, he was in jail. So he ended up getting me back into the music. So he was like, I'll record you. I'll produce you. He got me my first shows. And then that just set it off, man. After that, I was like, I caught the bug. And I was like, in 2010, I actually, like, I was doing little shows here and there. And then my father passed from cancer in July of 2010. And then the day after he died, I told myself it was either, like, I'm going to go continue this 9-to-5, whatever, or I'm going to do the shit. I'm really going to go do everything I can. And that day I decided, yo, I'm going to do music. I don't want the regular life. I'm going to do the music shit. And the last day of that month, I had my first show in L.A. And it's never looked back.
Nice.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm giving you the long answers here, you know.
That's perfect, all right, yeah. Man. That's an awesome answer, dude. That is freaking.
So so when you were doing those mixtapes at school and stuff, did you ever go by any other name than 60 East?
Yeah. Oh God, dude. I went through awesome. So many names.
Yeah. Those are always funny, man. I mean, you know, they're trippy, you know, just so what would you go by?
In junior high, you could tell it was my breakdancing influence because my name was MC Turbo, and I got that from Turbo and Ozone. I was MC Turbo in junior high, and then that evolved into Amits, AMITS, which stood for A Man Inside the System, and I rocked with that up until 2010-ish, and then that I was in the battle scene, and then I started battling, and then maybe like 2011-12, Right before I went on my first nationwide tour around the U.S., I switched my name.
That's pretty brave, man.
Yeah, I switched to 60 East.
Got it. Dude, that's cool. You know, you're clever, man. You're a really clever dude.
Thank you.
In the way that you write. Like, you got, like, clever rhymes, dude. It is, and that's what kind of keeps it going. Well, one, and we'll talk about this, too, is the music behind what you do, but you can just be entertained by hearing you on the mic. It's Thank awesome. You. How does that happen? It's hard to write, period. I will drink to that,
Paul. Sorry about
Cheers.
That.
Cheers.
It's hard to write, period. Like a paragraph. But how does that happen? Like, is it something like inexplicable? It just flows out of your pen? Like, or, you know, what's that process like? Like maybe let's take the last project, right? Freeway Series Volume 2.
Yeah.
How does that happen? That shit is incredible.
Actually, this was the first project I was actually able to sit with a producer throughout the entirety of the project. My friend Phil the Pain, he's from Boston. He actually moved to California, and he was sleeping right there where you're sitting. And
so that means I can spend the night here.
If yeah, yeah. If you ever, happen, if you ever out if here, I'm man.
Stuck in this side. Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah. Sweet.
So this he was moving. He moved out here, and he had his whole DJ or his whole MPC set up right there. And we would literally wake up every day and fucking get to the music and just record. We recorded so many songs. Probably like 100 songs, man. Like, we probably threw away 50. We have some saved for the next project, and we got some that we're still working on. We just tons of music. It was probably like 6 months that he stayed here. We just recorded tons of music. And as far as the songwriting, Brother Ali actually just released the album, and I was listening to it early. He had a dope line. He said, even if I don't have anything to say, maybe the universe does. So it's basically like, you know, so a lot of the times I'm not speaking my own story, or I'm not speaking necessarily what I'm thinking, but maybe I'm taking piece of somebody else's life and throwing it out there, just something that I maybe come across or something that I experienced. So it's not necessarily me having to create it. It's just me basically telling people what I'm seeing or feeling or feeling someone else is feeling or something like that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, that's all fine and dandy if you're just journaling, but the freaking rhyme, it's just, and it's quick and it's sharp, and then it all, it's good, man. It's pretty cool what you do.
Yeah, I was just stuck on the feeling.
Okay.
When you said the feeling, when you hear the needle touch the vinyl, I love that whole little part right there. That shit show, is bad.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, touch the vinyl at the show, watching your set. From your idol, I was like, damn, that's fucking sick. And then the one that got me the most was the album lyrics, like verses from the Bible. I was like, oh shit, never mind.
Mic drop.
All right, yes, yeah. And it's just so cool, like, to listen to your music. It's totally different than what's out there right now. Doesn't sound like a robot. It doesn't sound like, you know, you're trying to show what you have, what you're driving, what you're wearing, you know, all that stuff. It's not about that. You're having a good time doing what you're doing.
Thank you, man.
A good time writing. You're having a good time putting the music together. It comes out through your music, man. And I'm just like, damn, this is nice. This finally, I get to hear some stuff that I'm not tired of. There's some good stuff out there, like Humble. I love that song. But no, like that feeling. I like that those lyrics, man.
It's real.
Appreciate that.
That's funny because one of the things we pride ourselves on in this podcast is, you know, we're telling stories, or we get people who tell stories, and you literally tell a story in every single track.
Yeah.
Things that I'm stuck on is like, I love Yearbook. That was a sneaky one. I heard that track. I was like, I bet you every motherfucking dude 10 years removed from high school feels that way.
Yeah, dude, for real.
Almost There. I like Almost There, and I really like Almost Famous. But hearing these tracks too, especially on the newer stuff, there's Days and Confused, the movie. I love that movie. So it didn't take long for me to recognize the references you guys made, or the sampling you did. Do you like that movie?
Yeah, classic, man.
Was it like
me and my producer are super movie heads, bro. So when it came time to adding bits of the bits,
yeah,
we would be here, like we would be watching movies, or we would just think, be like, all right, what movie? Is like for Yearbook, we were like, what's a good high school movie that we would think? And they'd be like, oh, okay, let's use this, let's use that, let's throw it on and see if we hear anything new we don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was cool, man.
Yeah, I had to like go on to IMBD and take that from the Dazed and Confused and what it was saying on there. People got to go and check out that album, but that song is awesome. Well,
that's your fault. You haven't seen the movie enough times.
Oh yeah!
It took me 2 seconds, dude.
I knew what it was. I just wanted to have it written down on paper when I'm doing the show.
Okay.
But it was awesome. It's good stuff, man. Love it,
dude. Like I said, the music has got that old school feel. It's got a very soul presence. I'm a sucker for that kind of crap, man. It is bomb. But then the wordsmanship you use on top of it. It is fresh. It literally, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to be hearing a lot of you in mainstream. But you are in mainstream in other places, not California, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
You know, I'm regular rotation overseas, different countries. I work with a lot of radio promoters throughout the country. I'm on a lot of college radio promo. a lot of FM, AM stations just varies depending on, you know, which states play it and stuff like that.
Well, just think about this. Jimi Hendrix had to go out of the country to make it big.
Yeah, a lot of people have.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, you know, that's a blues good point, yep. And Jimmy had to go out. He went to Europe and then came back and just was just blowing up.
Dude, back in the day, labels would build artists. You know, when labels still had artist development, they would sign an artist, and we wouldn't hear about them in the States for like 3 years, bro. They'd be overseas touring, building up their fan base. So by the time they got presented in the States, they already had numbers. They already had a fan base. And the thing with Americans is, we don't like to support people unless they're already big. We don't like to support the underdog because we see a million fucking cats selling their mixtape outside of Walmart. We're like, we don't care about you. Until we hear you on the radio, until we see your face on a billboard, then it's like we start paying attention. Well, so they build you up out there. I mean, that's what the labels used to do.
Well, sports does that still, you know, like if you like the Lakers or the Dodgers, if they start losing, everybody goes home early, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Sure,
man. Yeah, that's what I say about this podcast. Yeah, Americans. America. They're going to love us until we blow up.
Maybe we have to go to Europe, bro.
That's right. That's right.
Honestly, that's been my experience.
Let's go, like, right now.
That's been my experience, and a lot of my music friends that I talk to about the subject, they say the same thing, that crowds in Europe are a lot more receptive, a lot more accepting to up-and-comers or to people that they're not necessarily familiar with. And they're supportive. They're really loyal fans in Europe too, man.
You're not an up-and-comer, man. Like, you won an up-and-coming award, but that was like 2011. You've paid your dues, man. You've done a bunch of tracks. You've done a lot of work. It's not like you're stumbling across one track and then you're just going to ride the coattails of that. That's not your story. You've literally put in a lot of work. You've gone a lot of places and you've played a bunch of shows. What was the most memorable show you've had?
Pay dues off top. I actually just posted on Facebook earlier. I found a picture of the Pay Dues Festival. And I said, this is the best day of my life so far. Thank you to all the people that were there and that are still supporting the music to this day. That was my exact post. And,
what happened? What were you feeling? Why is that? Why is that? I mean, until this podcast, but why were you feeling?
I mean, going back to the movies. Have you seen Groundhog Day?
If
there was one day in my life that I could live over and over, it'd be that day. Just because, even before we even tried getting on the Pay Dues Festival, I used to go to the festival as a fan. It was in San Bernardino every year, right here down the street. I would sneak in. I would do whatever the fuck I had to get to that festival because I love hip hop, and they would bring, acts that we never get to see out here. So around 2009, 2010, I was watching Slaughterhouse perform, and I was with one of my good friends, and I remember telling my friend, just on some drunk high shit, like, yo, dude, I hadn't even started taking music serious. I don't even think I had done a show yet. Oh, I look over to my homie, and I'm like, yo, one day I'm going to be on that stage, bro. One day I'm going to be on that stage. And he's like, yeah, whatever, Yeah, sure, whatever. A couple years passed, and they ended up starting, it was basically people would petition to get on the Pay Dues Festival to get the opening slot. So it was always a local from the Inland Empire, which kind of made sense for the festival because they wanted to pull the local crowd. So every year, artists would work their fucking ass off to try to get the attention of MERS and Guerrilla Union and get that slot. Yada, yada, yada. A few years passed. We got inspired by the people that, our friends that had done it before. We were like, man, we feel we've paid our dues and we feel we could do this. So came 2012, we decided we're going to campaign for a year. And we eventually got the attention of MERS after a year and them, and they hit us up and put us on the festival. And the festival experience, like I said, it was a dream come true, man. Just getting to open the stage. The Pay Dues Festival, for the people that don't know, is basically like the XXL freshman class. That's what we used to describe it as, because MERS, every year he would look at the independent hip-hop scene and he'd be like, okay, who's working the hardest? Who's working the most? Who's the biggest? And he would handpick every single artist. So even big artists, ask Kendrick Lamar, ask Macklemore, ask all these dudes, they would tell you, like, yo, we had to work our asses off to get on that stage. They all had try to get on the same stage, So we got to open for the biggest acts in the game, Tech N9ne, all the posters right there, Tech N9ne, all the black hippie dudes, Immortal Technique, Talib Kweli, Souls of Mischief, everybody. And it, like I said, it's a dream come true. 30,000 fans, 30,000 people in the crowd. Our brand being represented to, you know, 100,000 flyers, press, new press outlets that would never look our way are like, oh, who are you guys? You guys are on the festival? All right, we'll start writing about you. We'll start listening to you guys. Like, it just opened so many doors. And then after being on that festival, it was in April, the rest of our year got booked. The rest of 2020, literally, like, after being on the festival, we were on tour from April up until, like, November, which is the music off season. So it's just
then
like,
it was time to go to work. You're like,
yeah. And that, you know, that opened the doors to a lot of new opportunities, man.
Fonz, this is not, that's not a movie. That's like real life. That's like you freaking called it. That, like, that should happen.
There's a lot more that goes into it, man, but I'm trying to keep it short, dude. But like,
but that happened. Like, you're not, I mean, what you're saying, that dude, like, I'm gonna be on the stage.
We'll be on that stage.
Right,
on the stage.
The best part about that was after I performed, I'm performing, a lot of my friends, a lot of my people were there, you know, so we performed. And, like, I remember before we go and do a meet and greet, I ran back to the stage and, like, I ran up to the gate and I was just like, yo, what up? Just, you know, shaking everybody's hand. And my friend that was actually there that I told that to, he walked up to me and he came to shake my hand and he was just like, he reminded me, he was like, hey, one day, he's like, a long time ago, you told me you were going to be on the stage, homie. And I just witnessed it. And he was just like, hey, man, I'm proud of you, bro. And,
yeah,
like, that was literally the first conversation I had after performing. So that set the tone for the whole day, man. Like, shaking hands with all these big art, everything, man. It was just a dream come true.
Yeah.
Damn, that's awesome. So you put in your dues, like Walter was saying, and you paid your dues and you were on the paid your dues tour. I see that right here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, nice. That's real nice. And
not to cut you off, but there's only three of us in the world with this tattoo.
No way.
One is another local artist from here called Noah James, and the third is Absol from Black Hippie with TDE, nice, which is Kendrick Lamar's crew.
Tell our audience, what is that?
Oh, the Pay Dues tattoo. It's the logo. The logo for that festival.
Got it.
One of only three people in the world with that tattoo.
Wow. It's awesome.
Fonzie Omega the Fourth?
No, I got to be on that stage.
You got to win.
You got to be on that stage.
We
got
to go, and then you got to tell me that you're going to be on the stage first, and then it might happen.
I have a hard time talking, bro. I mean, I can't rap or I have no musical talent.
You're more the monotone podcasting type.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you put in a lot of hours. So did you get the 10,000 hours in?
I hope so, man. I think so, man. I've done a lot, you know.
So the 10,000 hours, for people who don't know, it's Malcolm Gladwell.
Gladwell.
He wrote a book, Outliers, and he talks about, like, for you to master anything, to become a master class of anything, you got to put in 10,000 hours. So, well, we got to put in those 10,000 hours. But it seems like he already did, man.
If you fast forward it. You're like, sorry, like, got there, dude. Yeah, for real. Yeah. Let's talk about Almost There. That's an awesome video. It talks a lot about your travels to Europe and where you played. Tell us a little bit about that video, to your experiences that were documented to make up the video.
We started the video at the Hip Hop Kemp Festival. It was the 15th year that they've thrown it, which is one of the biggest hip-hop festivals in the world. It's held in the Czech Republic every year. So we started the video there, and then it just continues on our Euro tour. We basically just kept the camera on for the whole tour, just got back and chopped up the footage. The song, it just, you know, like I keep saying up and coming, because I still feel that I'm climbing the ladder. I don't feel like I'm where I want to be yet. So that's the basis of the song. You know, throughout the song, I'm talking about all these things that I've been able to do, but I'm still talking about, yeah, but I'm still broke, or I'm still, you know, not there yet, but people think I'm there just because of what they see. But we're not there yet, but we're almost there. Almost famous, working with the legends, got booked for a show named Next to Kendrick's. Feel some type of way when the fans in my mentions and they tell me that they love me. My music and my message, shout out to the fans, voted me my city's best. And I threw my own show at South by Southwest. Still in the hood, but put away the pistols. I'm heading to Atlanta, I'm A3C official. Living my dream, can't even imagine.
business. Backstage smoking weed, sitting with cannabis. Fans going crazy, asking where the album is. And I just took a flight, sitting next to Alchemist. Toured the West with Joel Ortiz. And I just came home from a tour overseas. They know my name in London, Barcelona, and Madrid. And I never thought I'd make it this far as a kid. But we ain't there yet, but we almost there. The fans make us feel like we almost there. On a plane in the air, dog, we almost there. We ain't make it yet, but we almost there. We ain't there yet, but we almost there. The fans make us feel like we almost there. On a plane in the air, dog, we almost there. We ain't make it yet, but we almost there. Starting to feel like a rapper, every night is a movie. And I thought that I made it when I started fucking groupies. Life gets crazy.
All right, the pilot number 66, 60 East. Drinking 329.
Yep.
The number show. Once again, thanks for opening your doors. Thanks for having us on and taking the time.
Yep.
This is a real treat, man. We got on the break, and I wanted to ask you, are you having fun?
Yeah, man. If I wasn't having fun, I wouldn't be doing it, man. There's actually a big artist. I can't think of his name. Juzone. He actually released a book about. You know, you hear a lot of success stories in the music industry, man. You see a lot of success stories, but a lot of people don't like talking about the ugly side. And this dude actually tells the failure story, the story of coming up and doing all these things and failing and not making it. And then he describes it as one day he was at the Roxy headlining a show, and it was like a packed show. And then he thought it was a packed show for him, but really the openers brought the crowd. And then by the time it was time for his headlining slot, so there's only a handful of people in the crowd, and he was like, I was performing, man, and he was like, yo, this is the first time I was on stage, and it wasn't fun. He was like, I was really like, man, what am I going to eat after this show, like, blah, blah. And he was like, yo, I cut the set short, went home, and never performed again.
Wow.
Damn.
And, like, that hit me hard, man, because there's a documentary called Adult Rappers out there on YouTube that I encourage anybody that wants to do this for a living watching, because you see a lot of these up-and-coming – I mean, you see a lot of established artists talk about that and getting older and longevity and being able to survive and stuff like that. But off the subject, I don't know where I came up with that from, but what was the – question?
Just, are you having fun? And what that means?
Fun. Okay,
what does that
that's
mean that you're having
from,
fun?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, so but, yes, I'm having. I'm
but
having
you got the message out. We're gonna check out that documentary.
Yeah, yeah, no, but, I'm having a lot of fun, man. Especially touring. A lot of the times it's not fun, but no matter how tired I am, whatever. Anytime that I finish performing and people come up and shake my hand, makes everything worth it. No matter if I got paid or nothing, man. But that handshake is everything.
So one of the things that I've kind of had in my mind listening to all your tracks is, you know, you're from Ontario. You started, and you know, hearing you on the show, you know, you got into this as in middle school or junior high, and you get to high school. The way you rhyme is clever. Like, you can't get a dumb dude to do that. Like, you know, you can't do that. Like, there has to be some learning process, and a big learning process. Like, how does that happen? How do you go from like middle school to writing so clever? Like, what is it? Has it been like reading? Do you hear a lot of people talk? But what was that process like? How did you get there?
I always liked poetry. Like I was telling you guys, like first, second, third grade, when the teacher would take us to the library or whatever and tell us to rent a book, I was always renting poetry. She would get mad at me and be like, yo, you gotta rent like stories or literature. You can't read poetry all the time. But I always liked the art of rhyming and even the art of not rhyming, but rhyming. And so that I think that was the foundation of everything. And then growing up, you know, I was the dude that always slept through school. I never gave a shit about any of that. But when it came to English class, like that, I always liked it. I always liked writing.
For real?
Yeah. I always liked. I wouldn't necessarily do it all the time, but I always liked it when I would do it. And then this is actually probably after junior high school, because around that time I was like lost. You know what I mean? I wasn't focused in school. I was just doing drugs in the streets and shit. But after high school and stuff like that, when I started getting back on track, I went to community college, and English was one of the classes that I was like, all right, yeah, I remember this. I remember really liking this and stuff like that. So I liked writing. I read a lot now. Before I never liked reading. Now I read a lot of books. listen to a lot of people speaking, a lot of motivational speakers, a lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube videos. Yeah, you know, I never wanted to be a dumb dude. You know what I mean? Like, I have a lot of friends that even though we grew up in the streets, I never wanted to be a dumb dude. Like, I know I have a lot of friends that are dumb dudes. You know what I mean? And, like, I can, you know, have a conversation with them, but I can still walk into, like, anywhere else and have a conversation with the English teachers, anybody yeah. like that. I could switch.
Don't you know get it twisted, right? Yeah, like, dudes like you, dudes, like, who do a lot of entertainment. I mean, don't get it twisted, dude. They're not dumb, dude. Nope. I mean, how do you get to where you are? It's not, you know. There's a lot of work involved.
Yeah, I wanted to find out, since we're in the IE, and hopefully we come back.
The IE, baby!
The IE. Hey, food around here. Food, good food spots, bars,
around here.
Entertainment. Other than the desert and running around in the desert butt naked or something on some LSD or shit.
This particular area is shit, man. There ain't nothing right here. But I mean, downtown Riverside is cool because they have the university and then the community college. So it's a lot of college kids. They got a University Street. It's like a strip with like 15 bars just like in a block or two. So a lot of everybody, like the weekends, they'll shut it down and everybody's just down there. Cool. That's pretty dope.
But you yourself, like, You feel like you're hungry, you want to get something that you really like.
Food-wise.
Yeah, or you're thirsty, you want to go get a beer in a really good atmosphere or something like that. What's the go-tos?
Man.
From 60 food-wise. East, what's the damn, go-tos? Bro, that's a good one, like, I want man. People to, like, Facebook message you and be like, I got fat because 60 East is recommendations. Not because yeah. they're going to eat it all the time.
I can't give no generic answer either. So, shit, you really got me thinking on this one.
So they just changed the name to Yelp to 60 East. Like, 60
what, East. Yeah. What is
all right, what do you guys like? Mexican food?
I like Farmer Boys. Anytime in this area, I'm all about, like, the freaking zucchinis, dope. The fried, yeah. like, oh, the fried
Farmer
zucchini.
Farmer Boys is fire. I tried to lay off drive-through food, man, but Farmer Boys is, like, one of the places I do go to still.
Yeah. That's correct.
Shit, man, I don't. This one really got me stuck. I'm gonna have to pass on this one, man. Okay. I'll write you guys some recommendations,
yes,
man.
Okay.
Or if we're in deep discussion right now with some incredibly like philosophical questions, and you just like, El Michoacan, like you just yell out some Mexican joke or something like that.
It might just come out.
Just say that. Yeah, feel free to yell.
I'm trying to think, like, what do they have out here that don't have in the city, man? It's kind of like,
is there Tommy's around here?
Yeah, they got Tommy's.
Oh yeah. That's all. That's
Tommy's
all I need.
Tommy's originators.
Hey, I got a question. Tommy's In-N-Out or Fatburger?
If you had to rank them, I would go Tommy's In-N-Out Fatburger.
I agree. Yeah.
I would switch that.
How would you go?
Fatburger, In-N-Out, Tommy's.
What do you get at Fatburger?
I get everything on it, but I add bacon and chili.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It's like, to me,
that's almost like cheating right there, though, because you add the chili and you just order the bacon. So it's like going to Tommy's and putting bacon on it.
Nah, but Tommy's, I don't think you can mess with that.
No, that chili.
Like, remember like high school? Remember like high school back then, you go to Jack in the Box, but you know your mom bought cheese, so you get it with no cheese and you add cheese. You can't add shit to like a Tommy burger.
Ain't nobody paying 30 cents.
You can't add.
You ain't paying 30 cents for that cheese.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay, so your fat burger is your goal.
Fat burger.
Fat burger?
That's my favorite.
What about you? What about
Tommy's? Tommy's one? Tommy's is my number one.
And then what?
You know when people like fly into LA or fly into... Yeah, especially flying to LA, LAX or whatever, their first stop is always In-N-Out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like especially tourists and everybody else. Or if you haven't been around for a while, that's like, oh, I got to stop by In-N-Out. Nope, Tommy's on Rampart, on Beverly and Rampart,
Beverly
the
and
old
Rampart.
School one. Yep.
Yeah, you're like K-Town. Tommy's you're too, by man. You're by that Tommy's. If you're in K-Town. Yeah.
Oh, a Korean barbecue? You ever go to
barbecue? Oh, yeah. Otisan?
That's all I've been eating.
That's my favorite, Otisan.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's on Broadway, I think. Is it? No.
No, it's not on Broadway. No, it's like Wilshire.
Wilshire. It's on Wilshire Boulevard. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm right.
It's like Wilshire and just east of like Normandy or whatever.
I'm right there.
Normandy splits. But what is Pan Pacific Park?
Odessan. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm right by the Wiltern. So it's right there.
Oh, yeah. Wiltern. People always think of the Wiltern. I'm like, do you know how it's on Wilshire and Western? And it's like,
A lot of places like... out of LA. Well, I know a lot of places do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bar I know in Sacramento. It's called, like, R16. And then you're like, why? Because it's on the corner of R and 16th
Street. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's funny. Dude, Origin. We can't not have this podcast and talk about Origin. Origin, that was the first piece of video, first piece of footage that I saw, and I was like, the LBC, oh, the Hollywood sign. And how'd that come about? Where'd that idea come from?
It's a Cali track, man. So we had to do California, theme. Blue actually lives in out there. He lives kind of by Long Beach.
Okay.
So we just decided, that location. I had been there. I think I'd taken my daughter there, and I was like, it'd be a dope shot right here. And then I was like, I told the director, and he's like, yeah, man. And then Blue lived close, so he was like, yeah, I'm down. And it was like, that's how that happened, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And you did some in Huntington Beach too, right?
I saw a little HB on the bench.
I don't remember, bro. Like, but my director drove for that one. He was just like, yo, I know a dope beach. Okay. I don't even know where you took me. I don't remember, honestly.
So, beach, Long Beach. Yeah. So, I was like, the first thing I was like, oh, you was in Long Beach. All right. I like this. All right. And then the song was awesome, too. It's just like, Yeah. We're going to do this podcast. Well, we're doing this podcast. Because he was the one talking to Alex first. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing this. Cool, man. Yeah, I love the lyrics.
Pass the screening.
Yeah.
Pass the screening. Shit, you pass the screening with flying colors, bro. Yeah,
like to hear, thanks for taking the time with us, man. That's awesome.
No doubt.
Hopefully we pass your screening.
Yeah, man. I'm down.
He's like, nah, anymore. Get the hell out of my house, man. I'm trying to eat. You got me hungry
this
now.
This is one of the better interviews that I've done, man, because I've been on a press run for like the past 2 months. Okay. I did like 100 interviews. I like the interviews where people come prepared. They actually know about the music. They actually took time to listen to it, to watch the videos. Like, I've done interviews like, yeah, so, what do you got going on? Oh, yeah, how's it sound? Like, they know nothing about me or the music or nothing. They ask the most generic questions. Yeah. It's like, I hate those shit.
Well, that's the freaking thing. It's like when you're a fan of something, it's not really like work, dude. Like, it's awesome. You're just you can leave it. Like, and by the way, I like to know this. On your Facebook page, you have... I mean, what I think is every single track, like you can, it's hearable. You can hear every track on your, or there's a link to it. And then I think it goes to 60 East, but I heard a lot of your tracks online, just like either, I'm pretty sure it was Facebook or through your 60 East website. Dope. But and we're a variety show. So we have a lot of different, like, dude, every freaking all over the spectrum. One of the songs that I saw I heard you sampled Stain, right? It was early on, but it led me, or actually Fonz, you came up with this question about like, who do you like that's not rap or hip hop, or do you listen to any of that?
Dude, I hardly listen to hip hop.
What?
I mean, not hardly. I do listen to hip hop.
I don't blame you now. No, I'm just like,
straight up. But, I mean, I love alternative. 90s alternative is my shit, man. I like
for real.
I've sampled a lot of that stuff, man. And I love that.
Throw some artists.
In particular was actually a remix that I did from a Joe Budden song where he sampled Stain. But once I heard the beat, I was like, I need that. But I mean, I'm huge on. I mean, Nirvana, Chili Peppers, Pennywise, Mars Volta.
I think they even put out one album. I think that was all they did. They might have recently released one more.
Yeah.
At the drive-in. That's who they broke up, right?
Yeah.
Shit, dude.
Even older than that, The Doors, people like that.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff, man.
That's cool. But, with what you do, you have to be creative. You can't be in a box, right? Hence the you go into Koreatown. I mean, you got to keep your music library doors open with your music library.
Blink. I like Blink.
Blink 182.
Green Day, Third Eye Blind. I like all kinds of bands.
Bro. Yeah. Dude, I was in a small town outside of Denver. It was called Broomfield, and they have an arena there. And while I was there, Green Day played there, and I was like, well, let me go check it out. Damn, that place was freaking... popping. I thought they were like, I'm like, oh, well, now they're doing Broomfield, I guess. It's they've been out.
Next is the fair, right?
But, next is the fair. But place was sold out and like bananas, dude.
Was it?
Like bananas. And I was just like, okay, that's pretty freaking kick ass.
I like Green Day.
So since we're talking about music now, really digging top 10.
Top 10. I forgot about that track.
Top 10. I got to thank you for bringing me back to Rakim. Hey. Eric
the microphone fiend. The microphone fiend.
So you know what? It's you know, time passes and you forget about these artists sometimes and stuff. So it's like when I heard that song and then you brought it back, I was like, oh, I gotta do my homework. Gotta listen to this shit. I gotta listen to Eric B and Rakim, and Rakim's lyrics are insane.
Oh yeah.
So he's the number one on your list, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, he's just a visionary. The way he writes, man, it's just on another level. I can't think of the bar, the setup, but there was one bar that like changed my life, man. It was just like, yo, I heard that line and I was like, wait a minute, what'd he say? And I can't think of the setup line, but the punchline was brainstorming, I write and watch the night turn to morning. And I mean, the setup before that, it just sets it up perfectly and it sounds so sick. But that, just the way how he bounced it back and forth, like I hadn't heard too many people do that early on. So when he was like, brainstorming, I write and watch the night turn the morning, it's like an ABBA format. I was like, what was that shit, man? And yeah, dude, so that inspired me a lot.
Oh, man. I was going through your list, and I was like, oh, what's my favorite Rakim song? So I was like, Don't Sweat the Techniques has got to be one of my favorites.
You know what I like about Eric B and Rakim? They use a bass.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a bass. Oh, yeah. There's always a bass line. I feel like a lot of rap tracks, they like just say, I'm not going to do that because there's like a bass, like a kick or whatever. But like a legit bass. There's like a bass line to a lot of his tracks. I'm like, dude, this is freaking rad.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, I love it. And plus, if you listen to our other shows, I love the bass. I love the bass. So it fits right in well, right, with me?
It falls in line with the podcast. We've gotten basses in previous podcasts, and Rakim comes correct. Pharoah Monch, to me, I had no idea who that was. And it's not like, I mean, I do listen to hip hop and I love it. And listening to that track, I was like, yes, 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 yes. And when we got to number two, I was like,
and what? How's he so high if you don't know who he is too, you know?
Yeah, right? So tell our listeners, but screw them, tell me, why should I go home and listen to that right now?
He's your favorite rapper, man.
Is it hooks? Is it wordsmith?
Lyricism.
I told you on the way over here. That's what I told you.
Lyricism at its finest, man.
For real?
Dude is just a monster, bro. Like
a monster.
Another one. He's just a beast, man.
All right.
A lot of people get caught up on top tens, man. I see people arguing all day. Oh, this person's the GOAT. This person's the greatest. There's not a day that's gone by that I haven't seen it, and no one's ever done this before. So I was like, you know what? I want to run with this concept. Yeah. And it's not easy writing a 6-minute song, no hooks, no breaks, no nothing. You know what I mean?
Straight.
It's literally like 1,000 bars.
I mean, it's in a top 10, but you drop like probably like 40 artists.
Oh yeah, on top of the list, you know, there's all the maybes and what if, and this guy could be better. But you know, when forming your top 10, what are you looking at? Who's the best artist? Who's the best rapper? Who sold the most? Who was the biggest? Who made the biggest influence? Who had the best? Who was able to transcend genres? Who was, you know, there's so many different factors that go into this. So, like I say on the song, somewhere around 7 or 8, I'm like, it doesn't even I can't think of the bar, but they no, but I say it doesn't even matter. Like people asking like, why is this person on your list? And I say it doesn't even matter. This isn't your list. It's my list.
Right.
So there's no right or wrong because your list is your list. You have your 10 favorite rappers. My 10 favorite rappers are completely different. So I feel like aside from wanting to express my list and not only introduce these names to my listeners, but I also wanted to get that point across because a lot of people like being stuck on, no, this person's the best and that's that. No, it's everyone has their own favorite for a different reason.
I can't tell you, man, in the life of our podcast, how much new music to me, because it's old music or older music, but these are the gems. This is why I love when we ask this question or when we do that or we talk about that stuff. So it's cool because now I'm just going to burn the crap out of Pharoah Monch. I'm probably just going to listen to it 24/7. But
you got to listen to this song called Welcome to the Terror Dome because he covers the Public Enemy.
Public Enemy, yes. Welcome to the Terror Dome?
Yeah,
nice.
So it's a pretty sick song. he even says, hear the drummer get wicked.
Oh, that's Chuck D right there.
Yeah.
That was beast.
Another thing with this podcast, the only reason this manifested was through Alex. You guys have a long history together. I think it's, I think it's important to bring him up because he made this happen and he spoke really highly of you. You guys have, like I said, you guys have a long history together. How did that happen? How did that relationship come about?
Me and Alex, we met in high school. My first memory of Alex, I was a new kid in school, so I didn't have I didn't have too many friends at this time. So one of the cats that I did hang out with ended up getting into like some little high school beef with one of Alex's friends, and they were gonna fight. And then this is my first memory of Alex. Alex is like trying to round up his boys. They're like, "Yo, we're gonna jump this dude. Like gonna jump my boy." And I was the only one with my boy. And
oh,
then,
shit.
And you know, I didn't care because I'm a loyal type dude. So I was like, nah. So I was like, I'm being this dude are about to get jumped. But, you know, it didn't end up going down like that. And eventually, me and this dude had like a PE class together or something. And like, it was just by chance, like we were walking out of the pool one day. And my teacher was just like, one of my teachers was talking shit to me, saying something. And Alex was walking by. And he was like, oh, hey, look. He's all, hey, Alex likes to smoke weed too. You guys should smoke weed together or something like that. And it's funny because I looked at dude and then like that kind of started a conversation between us and we ended up talking and we're like, oh, so you smoke? And we're like, I smoke.
Nice.
And that literally set everything off, man. That ended up being like my best friend.
Cool. Where do people find you on social media?
Twitter at 60East909, Instagram at 60East, everything else just at 60East. Google, Facebook, Spotify, Pandora, Google me, bitch.
You pass the 15, stay on the 60 East.
Yeah, man. If you ever find yourself on the 60 freeway, man, hit me up. I might meet up with you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say the from San Diego to the border of Oregon.
From San Diego to the border of Oregon.
It's California, y'all.
Is there anything else we missed? Anything you want to plug? Anything?
Just my website, man, 60east.net. All my videos, all my music. My new project's up there for free. My clothing line is on there, my blog, everything. I have a podcast also. You know, anything you want to, you know, hear me do or keep up with me, check out the website, 60east.net.
Can this not be the last time we meet? Will you come again?
Yeah, for sure, man. Any time, man, just let me know.
You're going to blow up, dude. I mean, you're freaking awesome, dude.
I have one more question that I think it was on the list, but we got passed by. Is that freaking Space Ghost on your neck?
Yeah, man.
Yes!
That's right. You caught that.
I thought you were going to ask about Amy Winehouse. Yeah, man. Space Ghost, bro.
Space Ghost, yes.
Trip out. The story that I told you guys about... my brother's record label and the main artist getting murdered in Ontario. His rap name was Space Ghost.
Oh, no way.
Still watching my back to this day.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's a good dude to have your back. That's a good dude to watch your back.
It's funny, man. There's not a day that goes by that not at least one person will come up to me and be like, yo, is that Space Ghost?
Yes.
And it's kind of just always a reminder like that my boy's always with me, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
All
good
right.
Shit. Good shit.
So I'm that guy for today, right?
Yeah, man. Today, you know? Yeah. Oh, and it never fails.
I'm sleeping on this couch. So I'll ask that tomorrow. What a great show. Thanks again. We appreciate
it. Thank you guys,
I wish you continued success. And this is great. Thank you.
Thank you guys.
California, know it's a place like no other. From the Golden Gate all the way down to the Southern, know that we bang it. Murder for your colors, a rob for your chain. This the home of the hustlers. Know we stay swerving, blowing urban to suburban. Where you hit the corner and they ask you what the word is. Sipping lean, blowing perp, holding up my permit. Know you seeing colors, dog, we lighting up the churches. Know to bot those bitches with the low lows and switches. Home of bad bitches in the power 106s. We don't leave you speechless. Palm trees and beaches, pieces on the wall, Chuck. Khakis and creases, Cutlass and Caprices, Cadillac and Hollis, home of Hollywood, can't nobody con us. Banging block dog, this the way that they taught us. West Coast, state of mind, can't nobody stop us. From San Diego to the border of Oregon.